All right, let's get started this morning, guys. Our main text, our main passage is going to be Genesis 21 and verse 9. John, if you'll grab that for us, Genesis 21 and verse 9. And then just one more scripture here, Luke 10, 19. Gabe, if you'll get that, Luke 10, 19. You know, this is an interesting topic. I've never actually done a serious men on this topic and in the way that I'm going to apply it, but got inspired on this. One of the things that when a man wants to do something for God that he has to overcome and get victory over is the issue of mockery. So a question, you know, just to think about, what does a man desire in life? What's a man's greatest need in marriage, and what's a man's greatest need in ministry? Men need respect. It's in the top four things that a man needs. Well, I'm going to understand mockery is a disrespect. And so in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, Abraham has to deal with this issue and navigate through mockery. So it's important that we process this right if we're going to be able to move forward in our discipleship and be able to be impactful in ministry. We need to get victory over mockery. So our main passage, Genesis 21 and verse 9.
But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of her son Isaac.
Okay, making fun of her son Isaac. Let's think about this first. Let's talk about facing mockery. So our story is about a miracle, right? This is the promised son that God speaks all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. I will make you, Abraham, a seed that will impact all the earth. And so time passes, some 25 years pass. No son of his own through Sarah. But now here is this miracle. And in the miracle, Sarah even comments, just before, who would have ever thought that Sarah would give Abraham a child in his old age? This is incredible. This is a miracle. Here is this plan of God becoming fulfilled. But in the middle of it, Ishmael and Hagar mock the plan of God. So this is something for us to think about, because in life, you will experience mockery towards God's plan for your life. Okay, and when I say God's plan, of course, I'm talking your calling. I'm talking your righteous living, the stands that you're going to make, the standard of life that you're going to keep. The world will mock that. People will mock this. People you're connected to, your friends, your family, etc., work co-workers, you're at school, you're going to face mockery in hell ultimately. Is the inspiration of this. Hell mocks the plan of God for your life. You're going to face this. Many of you probably already are making connections in your mind of times where people or circumstances mocked your relationship with God or your stand for God. You know, I remember when I left the emergency department to become the concert director. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of people were, oh, man, we could see this, absolutely, you know, helping people in a different way, etc. But I remember one person saying, and what will that pay? Right? It's a mockery. You're in the medical field. You were pursuing this career. What kind of plan is that, you know? I've faced the looks of people, right, in ministry when you tell them your occupation. You're conducting business and you're carrying your own, and they're, wow, this, and what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pastor, man. Oh, okay, pastor. Yeah, like you're so naive to the world, right? It's a mockery. It's how they view it. You're so innocent in life. You have no understanding of how the world operates because, you know, you do something that's just good and special, you know? And so you're going to deal with that. I've been mocked for stands and judgments that have to be made. In a church, you know, this is one of the things that you are going to have to be able to navigate in ministry. There are going to be people that disagree with you. There are going to be people that don't appreciate what you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes when you have to make a stand, they'll mock you for that. You know, they'll mock you for that and come against you. So think about this story. Abraham, though, think about Ishmael and Hagar. Abraham made some decisions in his life that are contributing to the current mockery. Right? If you we know the story, he decided to take Hagar and have a son through her. But now all these years later, there were some circumstances that were created that are now in victory in God's plan, mocking it. And so sometimes the avenue of mockery may come from our past decisions. Past decisions we've made, things we have done, and it kind of mocks us later. You know, I remember when I got serious about my calling and I got serious about doing a work for God. To be honest, because of my past, because of things that I had done, you know, people mock me. Oh, okay. Some disciple you'll be. Right? Some disciple you are. Because they look at the past. Well, I contributed to that. There was things that I had done. So that was a time factor. But even later, there was, when I went on staff, there was a letter that was sent to Pastor Greg that was detailing all of my flaws and failures. And I got a letter that said, just so you know, we sent a letter to Pastor Greg why you are not fit for this. Right? Because why? Because hell wants to mock you for your past. Hell wants to bring the past up, bring it into the present, and tell you why you're a joke as a disciple, why you're a joke as a man of God. So you have to be able to recognize, okay, maybe some of this I've contributed. Sometimes, though, secondly, mockery comes from things that we're currently doing. Character flaws that we have not dealt with, right? There are things that in our character that can become a mockery as a disciple, as a man of God. Maybe it's a carelessness with our words, things we say and do in pride or insecurity, whatever the case is. We say things that, you know, people can use and to mock us. Maybe it's a faulty conduct. You know, it's not a good thing when you're going to pursue the will of God and your job says goodbye, devil, so long. Right? Because of a faulty character. Well, the guy never worked anyway. Right? Those are things, I'm telling you, that makes us a joke. So sometimes it's things we're doing currently. You know, Lot, think about in the Bible, Lot, when he warns his family of a coming judgment. God sends two angels. He says, guys, we have to get out of here. This is coming down. We got to move quickly. What does the Bible say? They thought he was joking. Because there was things he was doing in the present that made him a joke as a man of God. So these are the factors. But however it works, the point is, men that want to do a work for God, you will face this voice of mockery. You want to pursue the will of God? You'll face this voice of mockery. You want to get serious about your ministry, about your calling, about what God has for your life? You're going to face the voice of mockery. So let's think secondly, though. Why mockery? Why does the enemy use this? And again, I believe because mockery is a form of disrespect. That's how we interpret it. Right? And no man wants to be disrespected. Right? And that can cause a man to cave. Right? When it comes to the things of God, that voice of mockery can get in their head. That voice of mockery can begin to raise questions. You know, because the truth is, Pastor Mitchell has said, ministry and pastoring is ego. Most men are a house of cards in ego and pride. That's just, it's how we're built, and hell knows that. Hell understands this. Think about Saul in the Old Testament. King Saul, he was driven by emotion, that was rooted in pride. And what was the factor that triggered that? It was a song. Saul has slayed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He felt mocked. He felt disrespected. And now his whole worldview, his whole approach to leadership is driven because I felt disrespected, because I felt mocked, because I feel like they like David more. It's this mockery that absolutely caused him to be so consumed in a negative way. So the results of mockery, hell understands this about men, about this arena of life. So the results of mockery can be detrimental if we are not careful. If we're not, you know, aware of this. Number one, mockery, not only does it disrespect, but it can begin to intimidate a man. Mockery, then, that voice of mockery about the things of God, the purpose, the plans, the standards of God, it can make you feel in a sin-filled world like you're powerless. It can make you view that voice of mockery, God's will, as a low priority. Right? Think about our story. Hagar and Ishmael mocking Isaac. You know, at this point in the story, we're not talking about, you know, a little bratty kid just being a little bratty kid. We're talking about Ishmael's now later teen years, right? Isaac is this baby, right? So Isaac's the promise, Isaac's the victory, but here's Ishmael, right? This teen, he's established, he's grown, you know, and he's like, that's the promise? That's the potential? This baby that's just been weaned? The Bible tells us those details. It's a baby. What a joke. And that can make a man, when it's in the context of your life, wait, what are you going to do? Wait, so you're going to leave all of this? You're going to go do something? That sounds dumb. What a joke. Man, you can feel... You can feel that. You can begin to feel inferior. You can begin to feel like, man, am I doing the right thing here? Pharaoh mocked Moses and Aaron. Right? Let my people go. No. And who's this joke of a shepherd coming to tell me that? Well, here, let me show you the signs. Well, my magicians can do the same thing. You have to do better than that. It's a mockery. And it can make you feel inferior. It can make you feel intimidated. Secondly, hell understands mockery can become a distraction. Here's now Abraham. Think about this. He has to now wrestle through home strife, through that voice of mockery. Now it's at work. You know, Sarah goes to Abraham. I saw, and this is what's happening. And it's swirling in the home. So in other words, mockery now can infiltrate our home life. Mockery can weigh on our minds and it replays in our thoughts and begins to consume us. And that impacts our heart for ministry when it becomes now a distraction. You're trying to focus on the things of God. You're trying to focus on your calling. You're trying to focus on growing as a man of God, but there's this voice that's distracting you. In it. Thirdly, if we're not careful, and hell understands mockery, seeks to kill future usefulness. So again, think about our story. Here is Isaac, a vulnerable baby. And you know, you know this is the fulfillment of a promise, but in a baby you can't always see the potential. Right? So here's Ishmael, mature. The Bible says he's skillful in hunting. The Bible tells us that he has strength. He's just this wild outdoorsman, man. He's, you know, just a man's man. And he's mocking the future vision. He's mocking Isaac. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is kill your future usefulness through the voice of mockery. And this is a demonic pattern we see in the Bible, is that hell attacks the vulnerable. And this happens when? When men make decisions, right? You make a choice. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to pursue. God, I'm all in. And some voice of strength in your life, it could be a boss, be a parent, be a family member, begins to mock, and it's in that early stage that it's attacked, right? Pharaoh attacked the babies in Exodus. Herod attacks infants and babies at the birth of Jesus. Goliath mocked the people of God, this voice of strength, mocked the people and the work of God. You have Jesus, and he faced this all throughout his ministry, times where mockery and that voice of mockery wanted to kill the usefulness, even from the cross, as Jesus is paying for the sins of the world. The Bible says they began to mock him. They began to make, look at the joke of God. He wants to kill that usefulness. And so if we don't capture this and navigate this and get victory over that voice of mockery, it can be consequential. But let's think, lastly, let's close. Let's talk about processing mockery. The problem is some men don't survive this. The voice of mockery. I've seen men over the years, they drop out of their calling. They someone said, or you know, pressures in life, etc. They pursue something else, another career, whatever the case. They drop out of it. Or they'll hurt themselves in pride because of mockery. Now they respond wrong. And again, like I said, sometimes it's things we are doing. So how do we respond? Number one, if the mockery is coming from the things of the past, okay, things in your past, things that you can't change today, you need to take confidence, number one, that it is under the blood. Right? That in Christ, we aren't what we were. And in Christ, we aren't yet what we will be. We're a work in progress, and God knows what he's working with. And God knows, yeah, God knows what you did. But what do we read in the Bible? Right? We read of the vision of Joshua, the high priest, standing before the throne of God. And Satan at his right accusing. And in that accusation, maybe mockery. This is your representative, God. And what does God do? He clothes him with new clothes. He anoints his lips. So if it's in the past, it's under the blood. You are a new creation. You need to walk in that confidence. You know, and walk in that victory. Secondly, if it's things you're doing currently that are contributing to the voice of mockery. You know, if the character flaws or a conduct or whatever the case might be, then you have an opportunity. You can stop that. And you can change that. You can, God can help you. Ask him to help you. God, change this in my character. Change this about my conduct. Change this about my attitude. Change this about my work ethic. Change this about my words. Whatever it is, ask God to help you. He can do a miracle in you. And that voice of mockery can begin to be silenced. Thirdly, is you need to know your identity in Christ. Every man, you need a revelation this morning about your calling, that you are pursuing the highest call in all of life. This is the greatest thing that a man can do, is a work for God. There is nothing inferior to this, because you are representing the King. There is nothing to be ashamed of this. That's why Paul writes, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in our intellectualism and in our professionalism and in all of our, you know, current world state, we can feel ashamed of this gospel. No, this is the greatest thing you can do with your life. This is the most fulfilling and satisfying thing you can do for your life. This is the most important thing that you can do in life, because you're changing eternity for people. You're shifting the scales of eternity in people's lives. What a joy to be part of marriages restored. What a joy to be part of people delivered from sin and bondage. What a joy it is to be part of a congregation that's growing and people getting revelation. What a joy to see miracle healing. You know, but so often hell, man, wants to belittle that through the voice of mockery. You know, Paul writes about his bragging rights pre-salvation. You know, in Philippians, he's documenting and talking about all these things that he's accomplished and his background and his credentials and all of that. And what does he say at the end of it? And you know what it all is? It's worthless. It's worthless when I compare all of that to doing a work for Jesus. It's worthless because I'm doing the highest calling that I can do with my life. I am pursuing the highest call. You know what? It's hard to remember that when you're in your pioneer church and no one shows up. Right? But that's the voice of mockery that you've got to navigate. That's the time where you've got to lay hold of this revelation, because you are doing a work for the King. Lastly, in all of this, is you need to get the authority of the Holy Ghost. Right? You ever been around some of our leaders, you know? And it's not just that, you know, they've built some big churches and great movements. But you ever get around them and you just want to be like them? Yeah, you want to know the Bible like them? You want to have wisdom like them? You know, it's appealing. You know what it is? You know what you're witnessing is the authority of the Holy Ghost. That's power. That's what you're witnessing. That's what's contagious, is that power of a man who has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, of a man who has said yes to the highest call and has let nothing else stand in the way. And they have been anointed with the authority of the Holy Ghost. Luke 10:19.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Okay, so here Jesus says, I have given you authority. And that serpents and scorpions is a picture of the demonic. You know, not literally we're going to go around stomping scorpions this morning, exercising our authority. It's a picture of the demonic. It's a picture of witchcraft and the occult. It's a picture of manipulation that hell wants to use over our lives and manipulate us out of the will of God. No, we can have authority over that voice of mockery. We can have authority that when we go into a place to do business, or when we go into a city to build a church, or when we go into an area to outreach, we have authority. We change the spiritual dynamics. So hell wants to use mockery to rule over you and make you feel powerless. But as Pastor Wayman Mitchell would say, Christianity is a religion of power. We have power and authority over that spirit, and we can do and accomplish great things as we give our all and our commit ourselves to our calling. We can have authority over mockery. All right. Very good. That's all I have. Let's open it up for some questions. Yeah, David?
So when you feel resistance, which may or may not involve mocking, what are some steps you would take to overcome?
Resistance in just your calling, or?
Well, or it could just be in a time.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the numbers of things, of course, number one is prayer, you know. And when you pray, you apply Scripture. Because the point of knowing Scripture in your prayer life, David, is the Scripture sets the standard, right? Many times we'll let experience set the standard. We'll let our opinion set the standard. But when we let Scripture set the standard of what life is supposed to look like, or an area of life is supposed to look like, then when we pray, we say, Pastor Greg's famous words, this is unacceptable. Why? Because my life isn't lining up with the standard. So that's the most practical, that weapon of our warfare, when you feel resistance, is prayer, you know. And then sometimes you've got to confront it whatever that resistance is. It may be dealing with someone or something. It may be just an internal judgment, you know? A part of that is confronting it. I reject these results. That's you coming against it, right? And so prayer and then confrontation or confronting that spirit, whatever that looks like, will vary.
In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah, as soon as he enters into the ministry, he does his very first miracle, and the next thing that happens is he gets mocked.
Right.
And so his response, you know, kind of threw me for a loop, but, you know, he curses these kids, and 42 kids get chewed up by two bears. So is that like what's true in the natural, is like that's true in the supernatural now or the physical? Should we be taking like this, not a defensive stance, but an offensive stance against mockery? And what are your thoughts on his response to how he dealt with these kids mocking his ministry or mocking him as a man of God?
Yeah, I have never mocked a bald person in my life. That's the first thing. Just in case there's bears, no. But yeah, absolutely, you know, many times God will use extreme stories to give us very practical applications. And so in what I'm talking about, this voice of mockery is absolutely hell-inspired. And in confronting it, as I just mentioned to David in his question, how you confront it will vary. But at the end of the day, you absolutely need to be settled in your calling, which is why I said, number one, you need that revelation of your identity in Christ. Because ultimately, that's what wants to come against us. Ultimately is that identity, when you're not confident in it, in your position as a son of the Most High God, as a son of your Heavenly Father, that ripples into so many avenues of life and ministry. You will lack confidence, you will lack dominion. And so in my case here, what I'm explaining is confronting that spirit of mockery. Like I said, that's going to look a lot of different ways, you know. I've had people mock me where I've had to have a conversation as far as in a stand. You know what? No, this is what the Bible says. This is the stand we're making because. And sometimes when you confront that, you're confronting the spirit motivating that, right? In prayer, you know, I reject these results. You know, God, this isn't your standard. This isn't what you've called us to do. And so as you do that, Matt, you're confronting that and you are getting authority over the enemy. That's what you're doing. It's a position. Faith is an attitude, is something that Pastor Greg has said in the past. Faith is an attitude. And the attitude is, no, I will rule, right? You will be the head and not the tail. And so mockery wants to make you feel like you're losing that dominion. So in this case, yeah, we've got to be aggressive in a sense, right? It's an attitude, and not settle for whatever the results are or whatever that mockery, wherever it's coming from. Yeah. So
this could be kind of putting these two questions together for myself. Is this might not be someone mocking you to your face. It could be about, I'm about to go on outreach, and that thought, like Pastor Tom Paine said, like, why are you going on outreach?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to shut the door in your face again. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you even do that? So then you're saying the answer is to apply what God has said about calling us to be fruitful. He sent us out to preach the gospel, and then actually speaking that out and saying, no, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, it may be, you know, the voice of mockery may be a person in particular, right? Someone actively saying something, which how you deal with that, how you navigate it, you know, is going to vary. I can't give you a formula for that. But then there's, yes, spiritual dynamics, voices, fiery darts, right? Sometimes there's just your own inferiority complexes that you're dealing with, you know. And so in that, if it's things from the past, those were literally people that sent those letters, right? Okay, well, that's under the blood, right? That's what Pastor Greg said. Yeah, but it's under the blood. It's like, you're right, you know, and boom, I can move forward. Things in my life that I was doing that were making me a mockery, you know, unnecessarily causing conflict over dumb stuff, you know, as a young disciple. Okay, I can stop that, though. I can change that, and I can ask God to give me wisdom and strategy. And then, yeah, the supernatural factors. Yeah, is sometimes you got to attack that in prayer, lining it up with Scripture. So the voice is going to come a lot of different ways. Our position, what I'm trying to teach you guys this morning, is that you navigate it, that you get authority over that voice, right? And so we see Jesus confront mockery a lot of different ways, you know. Sometimes he put people out. Sometimes he talked to them directly. Sometimes he just ignored them and kept doing what he needed to do, right?
So, yeah. It's just kind of it's a two-part question, but thinking about the scripture, you know, where it says, guard your heart above all else, you know? And just wondering, you know, when these things start to happen, like maybe how do you recognize that your heart isn't right and how do you keep your heart right? And then also, how do you recognize when, like you said, you know, we're all men, so pride and ego is a factor in all of our lives, but how do you recognize when it's, you know, becoming a problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so a couple of things, and I think this would answer both, John, is you've got to recognize, or I'm sorry, one way you recognize when it's a problem, when your heart isn't right about it, is when it consumes you, right? Yeah. There's times where you're processing life and processing things, but if you're going to bed thinking about it, if you're having conversations about it in your head, if it's consuming your mind and your thoughts, you know, okay, hang on here. You know, is this necessary and healthy? Mm-hmm. Or is this in my pride or out of an emotion that I'm dealing with the issue here, you know? And that's a factor of what I've talked about, of you getting a revelation of your identity in Christ and getting the authority of the Holy Ghost, right? It used to completely bother and consume me if, you know, the first time I had someone mock me about a stand, right? You make a righteous stand, you've got to deal with a sin, and they want to mock you for it, right? It's like, no. Yeah, it consumes you and it makes you feel all like, oh my gosh, and they're going to tell everybody and everyone's going to leave. And, you know, it was unhealthy. It was a wrong emotional response. Mm-hmm. Versus, no, this is what the Bible says. Yeah. This is what the Word of God says. I'm standing with truth. Mm-hmm. That changes the dynamics, mm-hmm. right? Those are two very different approaches. And then I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because before it was consuming. So
right. Okay.
That would be a way to identify. Yep. Antonio?
Could God use mockery as like a teaching moment for you? Like if you get through the mockery at the beginning of pursuing your destiny, it'll help you with your faith or in the long run?
Yeah, definitely. Which is why I said, you know, sometimes we're the ones contributing to it, right? And if we're contributing to the voice of mockery that we're encountering, well, then there's some things we need to change, right? Like I said, I would, as a young and dumb disciple, right, I would hear Pastor Greg make statements in Serious Men, let's say, for example, you know, political statements that are, you know, countering it. It's not the most important thing, right? It's not our Messiah. And then getting into heated arguments with people over it, right? That's just dumb. And I'm killing the gospel in the meantime, right? So no, I'm not gonna get on that topic because that's not the point. Politics are not our Messiah, Jesus is. We need God to change hearts. So I'm gonna stay focused on that. That was something I could change, right? Being disciplined in my prayer life, right, is here as a disciple and a young disciple, a new disciple, being so hit and miss in my prayer life and that coming back at me, right? When I go to pray for the sick or when I, and I'm lacking in that, it's a mockery in essence. Okay, well that helped me learn, I'm gonna be consistent in my prayer life. I'm gonna establish this. And it's those small areas, you know, again, in this story, it's this in your face mockery. But at the end of the day, right, Abraham had to deal with it navigate it and move forward. And he was able, in that instance, to move forward in the plan of God. So, yeah, God can use it, definitely.
Pastor, would you say that sometimes there is times where we have an incorrect view of ourselves and our role in confronting mockery? What I mean is, like, there's been times where God's dealt with me to make a stand, maybe with backsliding family members or at a job, and I know there's going to be mockery. So in my mind, I'm picturing me like I'm Rambo, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure.
When I deliver, you know, but usually the way it works is my hand is shaking.
Yeah.
I have an uncomfortable odor to use a bathroom. You know, I'm sweaty, nervous, and so you feel like you're a failure. But we need to have confidence in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's God, right? So, you know, it's like, oh, you were horrible. That was so weak. My gosh. But it's not about me. It took me years to figure out, you know, hey, God is pleased you make a stand. It's
yes.
Not always this movie in your head, like you're John Wayne. It's just making that stand. You might be nervous. It's hard.
Yeah, yeah, so absolutely. Stands, I think Pastor Greg said this last week, stands are good because that makes you accountable, right? And people begin to observe and watch you. So you make a stand, yeah, you might do it, like he's saying, hand shaking, voice shaking and trembling, throat dry. But as you do that, it's amazing the supernatural dynamics that are unlocked in that. And so absolutely, not so much how we do it as far as us personally, but it needs to be done, right? And then you learn how to make those stands, like John's question, where now you can make it and move forward. You can do what needs to get done and move forward. You can confront it, but it doesn't consume your life, right? You're able to stay on track and stay faithful in your call. Yeah. Tony?
Is mockery similar to teasing?
To teasing? What do you mean?
Like mockery and teasing, is it either or are they related?
I suppose they could be somehow, you know, related in some ways, yeah.
Second question, is mockery like a glimpse of that person's heart?
It may be, it can be, I suppose, you know, when you're dealing with people that are mocking you, yeah, sometimes they'll do it in pride, in anger, you know, I've made stands with people, I've had to make judgments, and they turn, you know, at first it's like, oh, please help me, I want to come back, whatever it is, you know, I want to live for God. Well, okay, these are the stipulations, this is the stand. This is what the Bible says, and they mock it, right? Yeah, so they weren't truly repentant. That could be an indicator of the heart. But then sometimes you deal with mockery, and they're just cold sinners, and it's just what it is, you know? But what it does to you is what I'm talking about. What we let it do to us is what's very much we need to navigate and have victory over, okay? So that's more to the point there. Yeah. Yeah, Eddie?
So like in my life, I've like experienced obviously fires and mockery. Do we just need to realize that the mockery is not really towards us, it's them, like their point of view of what they think God's standards are?
Yeah.
Because like, at times I feel like I get really upset about it, or I take it so personal.
Sure.
But then I look at the bigger picture and it's like, well, I'm just quoting. God says, so technically they're not mad at me. Not mad at him, but like,
sure.
They just want to do that.
Sure.
Have, like a better perspective of when we get upset about things like that, when we get lost.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, again, is exactly as you're saying, we represent God, right? And so in that, sometimes we're going to make stands, yeah, that people aren't in agreement with, or they don't like it, you know? And for a million reasons, it may be their opinion, it may be conviction, it may be, you know, just their own selfishness, whatever the case, it doesn't matter. But yes, Eru, you must take confidence in the Word of God, you know. And back to John's question is in those responses, it's not always easy, you know. And sometimes, you know, confronting mockery still to this day can feel intimidating. But I have to say, you know what? No. God, your word says, and I'm standing with your word. I'm standing with truth. So in doing that, yes, there is a higher, you could say, opinion or a higher viewpoint that we're standing with.
So in the past, you said when you were like conducting business and you'd be like, I'm a pastor, you know, and then you kind of sense that they're, you know, that they're like, oh, you're a pastor, and they begin to kind of treat you differently. Not like obviously like saying sure. disrespectful things, but you just get like that vibe.
Sure.
Do you just let that roll off your back, or do you change the way you're acting, or do you try and kind of combat that by acting more professional or like you know more or something like that, or do you just like whatever and just let it go?
Yeah, I mean it comes back, you know, to your confidence in God, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, if it's a mockery response, so you're going to get a lot of responses, John, right? But I was looking specifically at the mockery. So, you know, I've literally gotten the laugh, you know, the okay, and then it's just kind of like you're moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so so in that, yeah, you've got to have a confidence, right? You've got to know, yeah, but God who created you called me to this. Mm-hmm. That's a position, right? And when you know your position and the position of your calling and what you're committed to, all of that stuff, you get better at navigating, you know?
Yeah, but obviously you don't be like, why are you laughing?
Yeah, no, for sure, that. Yeah. Why are you laughing? Rebuke you in the name of Jesus, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, you know, it depends on the context, you know, and it depends on what you're trying to do, you know. I've negotiated buildings, you know, where I went in looking absolutely like a businessman, right? And well, how's this church going to do it? And you know, it's like, you know what? No, we'll be able to raise the money for this, you know, and we'll be able to knock this through, and you know, yada yada. And sometimes you have to convince them. But at the end of the day, how you would do that, right? You could respond in pride and ego, like, well, why are you laughing at me? Yeah. What's so funny about that, right? And immediately you're feeling this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, no, I know who I am in Christ. I know what He's called me to do, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get it done. You know,
right.
It's a position. Yep.
Right. So you just use tact and confidence.
Absolutely.
And just keep,
yeah, and it goes
do what you know what to do. And,
yeah, and it goes back to that authority of the Holy Ghost as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You carry an authority with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This question may be off topic, and if it's for another serious man, that's fine. But in dealing inside with the brothers in the church, sometimes there can be, you know, mockery that takes place, and it can be good fun, it can be a great time sometimes, but what are your experiences with a culture of mockery when it isn't healthy, or when you can see when is that, you know, because it can, that can have more weight,
yeah,
than from outside.
Sure.
You can roll that off, but when it comes from, you know, your pastors, your, you know, disciples, your fellow disciples, and when do they cross lines, and how do you deal with that, or have you seen that be incredibly destructive?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, we could do a serious man on mockery just from within you, because I'm talking, of course, from without against you. But absolutely, mockery is an aggressive spirit, and what mockery will make you is a very critical and cynical about the people of God and about the work of God. What it is fueled by, from when it's from within, when it's you or with your brethren, it comes from pride, is what it comes from. And ultimately, pride in a fear of rejection, right? We deflect what we're feeling, and we deflect it, and we project it onto other people through mockery. And so it can be very, very unhealthy in that setting. And so absolutely, we have to guard against a mocking spirit, and I speak from experience.
Because it's like you said, it can be easy to tease. You know, sometimes you're
sure.
just teasing each other and having a good time. But it's just, you got to recognize when it's actually hurting. Because I do remember when I first got saved as a young disciple, that culture was it was dangerous. You'd be afraid to open your mouth, you know, and say that you witnessed to somebody or do something. You know, just you would turn into a 30-minute. You know, mockery session.
Sure.
About the last month. So you just, there's that balance, you know, and you know, so it'd be interesting to have a serious man on that to know when and how to stop that in your church, or when to recognize when it's more than just teasing, or when somebody's just sensitive and it's just like, say anything and they're gonna cry.
Yeah, we could definitely address that, but absolutely we have to guard against it as well, you know. And very good. Good. Yeah, Devin?
You kind of touched on it a little bit, but just very how do you reject the voice of mockery and make it stand without rejecting the mockery?
Yeah, so going back to David's, we kind of answered it there. Really what you're confronting is a spirit. Right. And so, you know, like I said, if it comes to, for example, a stand that you're making, you know, you've got to make a stand. And when I say that in ministry, maybe removing someone from ministry or removing someone from church, sometimes that mockery is coming. That's what's in their heart. That's an indicator. So you've got to have enough confidence, going back to confidence and authority, to not take it personal, but confront the spirit of that, right? What's motivating that? When you're dealing with it on outreach, right? What good is it for you to leave your flyer with them, you feel mocked, and then you respond emotionally and do something stupid, right? Or say something stupid, right? Now you've left all your info with them, and in a digital age, how is that gonna help you, right? Especially if you're just starting, whatever. So you need enough confidence in your identity in Christ and authority in the Holy Ghost to say, okay, I'm moving forward, right? And again, you feel it. You feel it, you know? I mean, I've been on outreach as a young, fresh disciple, and just for whatever reason, you're out there and you're knocking on a door and someone just laughs and, you know, this is blank and stupid, you know, and you're just like, no, it's not, but I feel like it is now, you know. And is you've got to be able to conquer that, right? Not get into it with them, but that's the point of what I'm making, guys. And going back to Tony's question, is what is the voice of mockery doing to you? That's what you need to, that's what I want you to conquer. And so that voice of mockery, you've got to confront the spirit of it. So
snatched a flyer back one time from somebody and gave it to somebody else. Never probably not the best.
Yeah.
They were mocking it. I'm like, well, then you don't need this. And I snatched it out and gave it to somebody else. And I said, if you want to hear it, then, you know, go somewhere else. But it's probably not the best.
There you
response.
Go. And how did that make you feel? Yeah, right.
So with like work and stuff, it seems like you were saying earlier that one of the things of mockery is like people treat you like you're innocent or you don't know anything kind of thing. I feel like I get that at work a lot, just with making stands, like I don't drink or I don't do this or that or I don't cuss. And so people at work will tend to start treating me like a kid instead of a coworker, because they're like, oh yeah, no, he's just a nice boy, or he's just, you know, nice.
Right.
And so how do you, for me, it's like a form of mockery. It's like, oh, they don't respect me enough to treat me like an adult.
Sure.
And so how do you combat that?
Yeah, so again, number one is taking confidence in your identity in Christ, right? You're living as unto the Lord. You're living for a higher purpose, a higher calling, right? That's, there is a great, you have dominion in life. That's what you have, right? Again, you can feel like, oh yeah, I guess it is kind of lame or whatever. No, absolutely not. You're a man of authority. I'm a man of dominion. I don't have to turn to that, because God has satisfied my life. God has fulfilled areas that they turn to those things for the wrong reasons. That doesn't make them, you know, older or wiser. No, I'm living as unto the Lord, number one. So that's the confidence of your position. Second is the authority of the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost at work in you, you have that authority and you walk in that authority. I'm telling you, people notice. And when they need help, they will know exactly where to go. When they need a prayer, they'll know exactly where to go. when their life's in crisis, they'll know exactly where to go. And that's the part of the workplace testimony that we forget, is when their life is going to get into crisis, that's where they'll turn. So I dealt with the mocking spirit exactly like you're saying. And this is why when you make stands, it's good, because it makes you accountable. But then it will open doors, okay? And so, you know, working in the ER, getting to know people, you know, and on, as I began to just make stands and they began to see the difference of who I was, I'm telling you, in that first 6 months to a year, there was a lot of mockery, especially from one guy. I mean, he would just mock, you know. But you know what? It was just how I processed it. And he would mock, make me, you know, talk to me like I was a child, treat me like if I was just so naive to the world. If I was talking to someone, he'd be passing and be like, "Hey, is he trying to recruit you to his cult?" You know, and just like all kinds of just little jabs. But I'll tell you, there came a point where all of that shifted. And that person has actually come to some events, has actually told other people that are in connection with him today how much he respects me, my life, how much of an impact I had on him. Like, that's the supernatural factor. So sometimes it can feel all these different ways. I'm telling you, if you'll walk in the authority, and if you'll lay hold, no, I'm living as unto the Lord, that is a higher standard. That is who I'm living for. That's why I make the decisions I do. It gives you a confidence, you know? And so, yep, we serve a God of power.
Would it ever make sense to turn around into mock sin? I think it was Zach told me he was talking to Pastor Payne, and Pastor Payne was saying that was like an effective...
Yep.
It's something like that. I wasn't there, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, he did. He was talking in the context of cover songs specifically, and... Uh-huh. And making sin the mockery, you know, or in drama, making, you know, it's foolish when you make the Christian the goofy outcast. No, sin is the goofy outcast,
yeah.
Right? That's what's destructive. So he was talking in the context of drama and music.
Okay.
So that would be that context there. But, you know, I mean, you know, I've had people, you know, mock me, and again, you know, you... I can't put it in a formula, but, you know, sometimes it's like, yeah, but think about this, right? They're mocking you for something. Yeah, but think about this. You know, let's take an examination here. Let's look at this practically. Let's think about this logically. Mm-hmm. And you bring people to a point of that sin is a joke, that sin is a mockery. You know, I had a conversation with a guy on an outreach one time, and he was on his way to the bar, and we were in this neighborhood, and we're going on, and he starts mocking, yeah, but all the church wants is your money, man. Come on, it's just all about money. No, he's going on. It's like, no, sin's about money. He's like, what? I said, where are you headed right now? Dude, we did a breakdown of his annual alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
Dude, it was in the tens of thousands.
Yeah.
I said, what's that all about? He's like, oh my God. I mean, it was a revelation moment, yeah. Right? But yeah. So really, it's in your tact and how you do it, you know?
Yeah, right.
And sometimes you can accomplish that.
Yeah.
Again, I want to get back to the point is, what do you let it do to you, though? Right? That's what I hope you guys catch in this. What are you letting the voice of mockery do to you? That's what you need to confirm. So, yeah. But, very good. Very good. Good questions.